Well, I do count it a genuine joy and a privilege to be here. I'm going to preach on something that I wish tonight every church in America could hear. Not because it's me, but because of the subject matter. It's certainly a great need among Bible-believing churches to conform their worship and their church life to what Scripture says all the time. So I want to invite you to look at two passages with me. I want to preach tonight on the church prayer meeting. The church prayer meeting. The Lord Jesus did not say my house should be called a house of singing or preaching, but my house should be called a house of prayer. All right. The church prayer meeting. Acts chapter 2, one verse. You know it. Pentecost has come. The Holy Spirit has been poured out to fulfill the prophecy of Joel. In Joel chapter 2, the New Testament church is birthed sovereignly, suddenly, surprisingly, wonderfully. And think about it. You read Acts 2, all those nations and languages, they were pagans, they were idolaters, they were Jews. They did not know how to truly pray, right? They wouldn't have known how to pray truly. Religious prayers, who knows? But the fact is, a church was birthed, and suddenly there were 3,000 souls. And yet, Acts 2:42 says this. And they continued, how? Steadfastly. In what? The apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayers. Take the beginning words of verse 42 and the last words of 42. And they continued in prayers. They, plural, the church. I don't know how they did it. I mean, it's a big problem. You know, suddenly 3,000 converts and the apostles had this on their hands, and yet the Spirit of God enabled them to move into the reality of steadfastly continuing in prayer, which is what Paul says in Colossians 4, 2. You can turn there. Paul repeats what Luke records they did. Colossians 4, 2 and 3. Admonition. Apostolic commandment. Continue in prayer. And watch in the same, that is, watchfulness, steadfastness, vigilance, being watchful to continue to do it. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us. So his admonition to the Colossian church is, continue in prayer. The praying church. Is your church a praying church? I have been an attender of church prayer meetings for 46 years since my conversion in 1973 in West Texas, the Panhandle. First Baptist Church, Clarendon. If you're going to get to Amarillo from here, you go through Clarendon. But converted when I was 19, First Baptist Church, I cut my teeth on the prayer meeting there. And it was encouraging. I didn't know how to pray. But I learned. Then I went off to college in Abilene, Hardin-Simmons University, Wednesday night prayer meeting. It was good. I learned more. Then I went to Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth, 1976, right in there. And Wednesday night, right across the street from the campus, Gambrill Street, right? Good prayer meetings. And I thought I was busy with studies, but I wasn't too busy to say, I need to be in the prayer meeting. And then my first pastorate in West Texas, in Guthrie, Texas, home of the Four Sixes Ranch, the town and the church was inside the ranch. And those cowboys from the Four Sixes would come, they knew how to pray. We cried out to God. I loved those prayer meetings there. And then when we moved to Denton in 1980, our church in Denton, Grace Church, we had marvelous prayer meetings. Just, they were real. They were honest. They were relational. They were not, they were just phenomenal. And then in 1980, my wife Linda and I, we started going to a British preacher's prayer meetings in Lyndale, Texas. His name was Leonard Ravenhill. And he lived there in Lyndale. And he held a Friday night prayer meeting. And the young singer Keith Green, any of you ever listen to Keith Green? Keith Green would play the piano and Mr. Ravenhill would preach for an hour and then would pray for a solid hour. 7 p.m., 10 p.m., Ravenhill's prayer meetings. And they were like heaven. Linda and I would drive back to Denton 2 hours, get home about midnight. But we almost always went. Children began to come. We kept going. And so those prayer meetings, he died in 1994, but those prayer meetings of Leonard Ravenhill from 1980 to 91 were very significantly influential. Now in Denton, our church, Providence Chapel in Denton, started 19 years ago. And soon, in the next 3 months, we will have approximately our 1,000th prayer meeting. Because when Philip Neely and I, the founders of our church, started, we had less than 10 people. But we said, the weekly prayer meeting is a non-negotiable. If there's two of us, we're going to pray. If there's three of us, maybe that's a revival, we're going to pray. And we've never compromised having the church prayer meeting as the central meeting of the church almost. And so we've grown now in 19 years to about 185. We just had a digression because of the Walquist, 10% of the church just left. But now we have three prayer meetings every Wednesday scattered out in the Metroplex. And our church has 12 prayer meetings a month in three locations. And all three prayer meetings pray for an hour. No preaching, no teaching. The young people pray. They've learned to do it. And so in over 45 years as a Christian, I was thinking, I must have been in over 2,500 church prayer meetings. And it's my favorite thing in the Christian life. It's the most significant choice I ever made as a Christian to make the prayer meeting. Because it's been transformative. It's the most significant part of my Christian life. I would rather be in a prayer meeting than a Keith and Christian Getty concert. I'd rather be in a prayer meeting than in a missions conference or a Sunday morning service. Now, every meeting of the church can be a real means of grace, can it? A conference, Sunday morning is always, the Lord's Day meeting. All of those types of meetings are valuable, profitable, and beneficial. But none of them are more biblical or as important as the church prayer meeting. Why? Because our Lord said, my house should be called a house of prayer. The church prayer meeting. Let me ask you a question tonight. What does your church prayer meeting mean to you? Now let's just camp out there a moment. Let the Holy Spirit dig in a little bit. Think about it. What does your church prayer meeting mean to you? Could you go and you choose not to? What does the prayer meeting mean to you? Not theologically, but personally. What does it mean to the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church? Is the church meeting even biblical? I want us to think about these things tonight. I want to give you some reasons why the church meeting is biblical, for you to expand your thoughts on it. And then I want you to tonight to go away from this evening evaluating, examining, being honest with yourself and honest with the Lord to see what God says to you. And because, you see, we all, we believe in the priesthood of the believer, right? Meaning, Christ is Lord of the conscience. The Holy Spirit is Lord of the conscience. So we're under mandate to obey Him in Scripture. So I'm not preaching law tonight. I'm preaching what's life-giving and healthy for the church. So, a true prayer meeting makes for a healthy church. But people sometimes say, well, it's only the prayer meeting. It's only a prayer meeting. But you know what? The greatest national revival in the 19th century in Northern Ireland, which swept Northern Ireland, started only in a prayer meeting of teenage boys meeting in the afternoon. And God heard those boys cry, and Northern Ireland was swept with a spiritual awakening. It was only in a prayer meeting in 1949 in Scotland when a 15-year-old boy began to cry out to God, and the power of God came down, and hundreds on those Scottish Hebrides Islands were converted. And the Spirit of God began to move for 3 years everywhere. Hardened men were converted. Teenagers were converted. Bars and dance halls closed and never reopened because people were praying in a prayer meeting. In Acts 4, it was only a prayer meeting where the house shook. In Acts 12, it was only a prayer meeting that saved Peter's neck from Herod. Peter went back to that prayer meeting. I bet his appreciation of the local church prayer meeting got higher. A prayer meeting saved my life, he would have said. It's often just in a prayer meeting that someone's conversion begins to happen through the conviction of the Holy Spirit as saints pray for those they love that are lost. It's often in a prayer meeting that a marriage gets prayed for that's on the rocks, and God will salvage that marriage just through prayer. It's often in a prayer meeting that family transformation happens. Leonard Ravenhill used to cry out to God in those Friday night prayer meetings for the persecuted church in Eastern Europe because it was under communism up until 1989, when many Romanians and Eastern Europeans would cry out to God for freedom, and communism fell, probably because of the prayers of saints in a prayer meeting. It's only a prayer meeting that a new work of God begins. And often, those new works of God will only begin because of a faithful prayer meeting. Now, let me give you some biblical wise reasons for the church prayer meeting. If you're a note taker, warm up your pen. If not, you can listen later. Biblical wise reasons for the church prayer meeting. Number one, corporate prayer is found throughout the Old and New Testament. It's biblical. God's people have always gotten together. They seek in the Old Testament. You know how it worked. There were the feasts and there were the seasons. There were the solemn assemblies. But there were times they met together, not just to hear the reading of the law, like under Ezra, but where they cried out to God. You've read the accounts in the Old Testament. The New Testament, the prayer meeting, is foundationally and fully biblical. Now, there's no needed proof of material, is there, here for me to proof text that, right? You know it, and I know it. It's throughout Scripture. God's people gathered and assembled, and often when they did, it was so they would cry out to God. When Peter's in prison, Acts 4:12 says, but the church prayed earnestly for Peter to God, and an angel came to the prison, drug him out, right? Remember? That prayer meeting was significant. They didn't say, well, we know God's sovereign. His divine decrees are going to work. It doesn't matter. No. Hyper-Calvinism freezes the souls of people praying. They cried to God, and God heard and delivered Peter. It's so biblical, in fact, the church prayer meeting, that in corporate prayer, the church is actually participating in the work and activity of God. He has told us to pray. He's made prayer a central means of grace. He said, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you what? Great and mighty things that you know not of. God has commanded us to pray. We don't know the mystery of God's sovereignty and our responsibility in prayer, but I don't know a thing about a car engine, but I need them to drive, and I like driving a vehicle to get from A to B. We don't have to understand God's sovereignty in prayer. We just have to believe both. And it's our job to cry out to God, and it's His job to answer. So, the church prayer meeting is biblical. There are 12 of them in the book of Acts. Let me just mention them. Acts chapter 1, they were assembled together before the outpouring of the Spirit. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 4, when the house shook. Acts 6, they were in prayer and God raised up servants to administrate the things so the apostles could continue to give themselves to the Word of God in prayer. Acts chapter 12, Peter's deliverance. Acts 13, the church at Antioch had prophets and teachers, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work I've called them to. The first missionary journeys were birthed out of a praying church. Acts chapter 14, there's a public prayer meeting. Acts 16, Paul and Silas have a prayer at midnight in the jail with bleeding backs. God sends an earthquake. And then two converts, the jailer and Lydia, the birthing of the Philippian church. A prayer meeting. Those guys didn't feel like praying right then, probably. But one of them said to the other, hey, brother, maybe we ought to pray. They started praying and singing praises to God. And God moved. Well, I could continue. Acts 21. There's 12 corporate times of prayer in the book of Acts. The church prayer meeting is biblical. So anyone who wants to truly obey Scripture, any church that wants to be biblical, there you go. The church prayer meeting is front and center in Scripture, and it's very biblical. Second reason, being biblical, the prayer meeting is as important as Sunday corporate worship. Now just think, that might puzzle a few people. Why? Because the Lord's Day worship began in the New Testament church, and it's always been a day of worship, and it is. But every called meeting of the church by the Lord Jesus Christ is a gathering of the church. And so, the Lord's Day worship is a day for worship and praise and instruction and preaching, and we are the audience. We're the audience. We're ministered to, we're taught, we're edified, we're built up, we're challenged, we're encouraged. But the church prayer meeting is just as much of a call meeting by Christ. And guess what? God is the audience then. He says, call unto me. He says, the prayers of the upright are my delight. Old Testament. So when we gather to pray, God is our audience. We have an audience of one. And we have His ear. We have His heart. We have His attention. The eyes of the Lord are open over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cries. He's listening. when the saints pray. He longs to answer. And He would do far more in answer to prayer than we've ever seen if we took the church prayer meeting more seriously. It is important as Sunday worship. Third reason, the prayer meeting is where new and young believers learn to pray more maturely by being with older Christians. Now think about this. Acts 2, the church's birth, those young Christians didn't know how to pray biblically. And yet, the end of chapter 2, it says they continued steadfastly in prayer. In Acts 4, they're praying again and the power of God comes out. Those young converts, those untaught believers, learn to pray by being in the times of prayer with the apostles. Now, where else will a new Christian learn to pray if not with you, more mature Christians? Where else are they going to really learn to pray except in the church prayer meeting? Where else will they see and hear how believers truly pray? Where else but the prayer meeting will timid and shy people who would never pray in public learn, because they're in an atmosphere of love and acceptance, learn to take the courage to go to prayer meeting and say, I could pray. And Kevin won't judge my praying. He'll say amen. I could pray. I'm going to pray this time. And they choose something to pray. I'll pray for the sermon this Sunday. I'll pray for that missionary I love. And they open their mouth and they might pray 30 seconds. Lord, please bless Kevin's sermon. Be with us Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. That may be the most eloquent, wonderful prayer to the Lord in the whole prayer meeting. And you know when a younger Christian prays and you're older in the Lord, you know it encourages you. When the young people in our church pray in our prayer meeting, it's so encouraging. And we've seen young people, now children, preteens, in the single digit age, will pray. And here's a 14-year-old girl that'll pray. And here's a 15-year-old boy. And they'll pray, and they're sincere, and it blesses the whole prayer meeting. They've moved from fear to confidence to be able to pray, because they're in an atmosphere that cultivates the ability to learn to pray. We've had adults, too, move from fear and timidity to learn to pray. Fourth reason, the church prayer meeting appropriates and unleashes God's power into situations. Now, think about that. How is that? Because He answers prayer and He moves when we pray for things. When we pray for people, God moves. And He chooses to do it through prayer. Could He heal that person without your prayers? Yes. He's told you as a church to pray for them. Therefore, pray for them and He'll answer. And then your faith gets strengthened. He gets glorified and the person gets blessed. That's a good triangle of a blessing. You pray. You get encouraged. Your faith is built because God answered. The person gets blessed and helped. And God gets the glory. That's the way it works. So, the prayer meeting unleashes God's power to work. See Acts 4, see Acts chapter 12. We've seen this in Denton in an amazing way over the years. One of our pastor's wife's mother had advanced bone cancer. And we prayed for her every week for a year in our prayer meeting. She went into remission. For a long time. She came to our church. She looked so healthy and good. I didn't even recognize her. I said, who is that? I'd known her for 25 years. She came in. She's not a member of our church. She came in tears on Sunday morning. She stood up and thanked our church for praying for her. She's since gone to be with the Lord. But the point is, we cried out for a year and God healed her. We had the nephew, a two-year-old boy of a member of our church with advanced cancer. We prayed for him for a year, every week. We didn't know God's secret well. We don't have to know. We know his heart. We know that he's told us, I will answer. That two-year-old boy is six years old, cancer-free. He was going to die. God's power is unleashed when the church takes prayer seriously, in a real way. It brings God's prayer meetings, brings God's manifested presence near. It brings God's power down in situation. We know a brother, some of us know a brother, whose first name begins with S, who just flew to the Middle East, still half sick with the flu. Your prayers can totally make or break his trip. Do we realize that? It's astounding. God answers prayers. He really hears the united prayers of his people when they come together and when they focus on things in prayer. Our prayer meetings go like this. There's no preaching or teaching. We come together, we'll open in prayer, we'll sing two hymns, we'll share important prayer requests. Important. Not Aunt Betsy's bunions, not Billy Bob's bursitis, not I stumped my toe. No. If you want to pray for that, pray it. But don't rob God's time and the church's time with unimportant prayer requests. We say urgent prayer requests. My dad's still lost and he's in bondage to alcohol. My sister's marriage is breaking up. Important prayer requests. We share them briefly. And then one brother will share a 5-minute word that prepares our hearts to pray on faith, prayer, trusting God, the faithfulness of God. And we pray for an hour to an hour and 20 minutes. And it's life-giving. It's marvelous because people have learned to be free just to pray for something. When they finish praying, someone else starts. And it's with one accord. It's marvelous. We have seen phenomenal answers to prayer in 19 years. And we're still growing in it. We've not arrived. But if the church in America, true biblical churches, would catch a vision of how God would use them to make them a praying church, you can have an international and national and local ministry through prayer. It doesn't cost money. You don't have to be educated. When you pray for a missionary in Lebanon or China or India or anywhere, your prayers that night or that morning, God will do things in that country for that person that wouldn't get done unless you prayed. I don't understand that, but it's true. Prayer brings God's converting power, His deliverances. Our praying can affect and shape and open doors in Jordan, in Iran, in India, in China. The Bible says in Acts 12, when Peter came out of the prison, iron gates yielded. Listen, beloved, iron gates can yield to your prayers. On things not thought possible, God will do strictly in answer to your prayers. It's not limited. So, let me hurry. The fifth reason for the church prayer meeting. Prayer meetings, in a special way, kindles and stirs up your affections, your emotions, and your will to go to action more. Doctrine equips the mind, but prayer fuels and warms the heart. While worship is what you might call basic training and strategy equipping, the prayer meeting is active duty. The prayer meeting is offensive work. The prayer meeting is getting in the game and crying out to God. It's the most spiritual action and work a Christian can do on the earth. It's to gather with the saints in prayer. It's the most important meeting in the world, far more than the Pentagon or the White House or what's going on Capitol Hill. The praying church that has a real prayer meeting shapes things, affects things. And from God's standpoint, it's the most important thing that's going on in the earth when saints cry out to Him. Nothing will bring your heart and your spirit into touch with God's presence like real prayer together. Let me hurry on. The prayer meeting lifts burdens. You ever gone to prayer meeting downcast and you came away encouraged? The prayer meeting strengthens the weak, gives hope when hope is fading, strengthens those who are downcast, all by the power of Christ. The devil doesn't want us to go to prayer, so he'll try to create all kind of hindrances. I'm too tired. I'm too discouraged. I don't want to pray. He'll make you feel that way. You fight through it. You say, you know, God says He's called His people to pray. I think I'll obey the Bible tonight. I think I'll go anyway. And you'll go and you'll get encouraged and it'll be lifted. One of the Puritans said, Satan knows that when saints go to prayer, they're going to get help from heaven. Therefore, he opposes them all he can. Number six, the church prayer meeting is where the body, church body together, practices church dependence on God. We don't think about that often enough. Personal dependence on God. But when you're together praying, you're practicing church dependence on God. Lord, we're here saying, we cannot, but you can. We're not able, but you're able. Church dependence, when you cry out to God for Him to do what only He can do. Now that's six reasons. Let me give you one more. Last reason that a church prayer meeting is biblical. Prayer meetings change things and they change you. They do. Luke's gospel says that Jesus and the three went up on the Mount of Transfiguration to pray. The other gospels don't mention that. Luke says they went up there to pray. And Jesus was transfigured. There is nothing in the Christian life more transfiguring than prayer. It will change you more than Bible reading. It will change you more than listening to a great sermon. When you come together and you're committed to pray in your prayer meeting, or at least be there and agree in prayer, your heart's in it, you're moved by things, and then you begin to hear God answering prayer over the days and weeks ahead, it transforms your mind, your emotions, your zeal, your will, and your desire to be more kingdom-minded. Nothing is more transformative in the Christian life than the local church prayer meeting. Ezra's praying brought an outpouring of the Spirit to all the city of Jerusalem. Isaiah prayed and God turned the sun's shadow back 10 degrees. Hezekiah prayed and God sent an angel and killed 185,000 enemy soldiers in one night. Daniel's praying opened to him the visions of God, caused him to administer national affairs, and brought an angel to close the mouths of hungry lions. God answers prayer. We just don't believe it enough. Leonard Ravenhill used to say, one day somebody will get converted, they'll believe all the Bible, and we'll all be embarrassed. How much do we believe these things? God's power is transforming. A church prayer meeting will accomplish things more than singing and teaching and preaching produce. More answers to prayer. It was when the church was gathered praying that the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. It was when the church was praying in Acts 4, the house shook and they were empowered with courage to not fear the persecution, to keep preaching. It was in prayer in Acts 6 that they chose new leaders, supposedly the first deacons, and the Word of God continued. And many Jewish priests became obedient to the faith because of a prayer meeting. Barnabas and Paul were sent forth by the Antioch church out of a prayer meeting. And it was in a prayer meeting, end of Acts. Acts 20. The Ephesians are with Paul. They know it's their last time they're going to see him. They're crying. They kneel down on a beach. They have a prayer meeting. They kiss Paul. They hug his neck. They tell him bye. A prayer meeting. Kingdom changes. Kingdom provisions. Kingdom healings and deliverances and conversions. Miracles, mighty acts of God come from prayer meetings. So let me close. A church without a true prayer meeting, a church member without a prayer meeting in their life, is like a ship without an engine room. It's like a bird without wings, a car without a fuel line, a stove without a heat connection. Corporate prayer is the kingdom's limitless reach. There's no limits to what prayer can do because there's no limits to what God can do. It's the church, the prayer meeting is the church's untapped, exceeding abundant, local, national, international, and cosmic resource for unlimited fruit in the kingdom of God. For a church to be a true praying church, one thing is essential. Members who'll come to pray. Now that's brilliant, isn't it? I got that from the Greek. For a church to be a praying church, only thing that's necessary is for the members to be willing to be committed to assemble to pray. And when you assemble, pray. Doesn't have to be eloquent. Has to be real and humble, relational. And God will hear. And He'll answer. To be a praying church, you don't have to be large, where two or three are gathered. You don't have to be wealthy. It doesn't take money. You don't have to be smart. Childlikeness in the kingdom gains favor with God. You don't have to be impressive. The weak are mighty in God, and the lame take the prey, Isaiah said. You don't have to be famous. There's no celebrities in the prayer meeting, and Facebook doesn't work there. You don't have to be impressive or popular or educated or influential or anything else. A church only needs this, faithful members who are committed to increasingly frequent the prayer meeting because my house will be a house of prayer. Let me close with this. It's sad to me to know Christians in America, different places, who never go to a prayer meeting. They love their church, they love the Lord, but they don't allow in their lifestyle, in their busyness, they don't have time for a prayer meeting. So what they're saying is, I'm a Christian who does not pray with other believers. Think about that. I'm a Christian, a part of the body of Christ, joined to my brothers and sisters, but I don't pray ever with other believers. Now as 2019 is before us, the whole year's in front of us, right? In November, my wife and I drove back from Seattle to West Texas. We came into Wyoming on I-80 over there in Utah. And I-80 East is stretched. You talk about flat and long. I thought I could see Louisiana at one moment, but it's a long haul. You can see forever. Look. 2019 is stretched out before you right now. Spiritually, corporately as a church, you as a member, this depends on you, not on Kevin. It depends on you. 2019 is stretched out in front of you like I-80 across Wyoming. What are you going to do this year spiritually in the way of prayer? I tell you, churches that will take prayer, church prayer seriously, they'll see things they've not thought about. They'll see God do things that are incredible. I wonder if is Paris a candidate for a spiritual revival? Are there lost people here? Are there dead churches here? Is the spiritual climate bad? God can rend the heavens and shake the house in answer to prayer and perish for the kingdom minded. Think about this, and then I'll sit down. Don't come to the end of 2019 and say, you know, I wasn't a real part of any prayer meeting. Status quo, I'm satisfied, I love our preacher, I love our church, status quo. And you look back, if a church has a prayer meeting once a week, that's basically 52 hours in a year. You know how many hours you got in a year? 8,700. Okay? 52 hours out of 8,700 in a year. That's about 0.6% of your time. You know what? Many of you use 260 hours a year on social media. That's 4% of your time. Five times more social media hours in a year, and some people a lot more than that, than 0.6% of your time praying with your church. So if you spend 5 hours a week on social media, that's 260 hours a year, and people say, I just don't have time for a prayer meeting. I'm not preaching legalism here. I'm preaching life. What will make a church more spiritually healthy? What if every member of a church stepped out in faith and said, our church has a prayer meeting. The Lord Jesus, I'll take His word seriously. He said, my house will be called a house of prayer. I'm going to start going. I'm going to adjust my life. I'm going to get out of my comfort zone. I'm going to become one of those that's there to pray. And I believe God will bless me for that. Not earn His favor, but I believe He gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. Acts 5:32 says, you start going. You start praying. Even if it's silently, and you don't have the courage to pray out loud, that's okay. Take baby steps. One night, then be the one who prays for the sermon. And you break that ice, you'll get encouraged. Next time, you'll want to pray more. You learn to pray. What if you began to do that, and suddenly in your life you found weekly encouragements come. You were more strengthened and hopeful during the week. And you begin to pray for people weekly, and you begin to see them get converted. We started praying 4 years ago strategically for unconverted young people and children in our church. In the last 2 years, we've baptized probably 10 or 12 teenagers and young children. And they all give a clear, credible testimony. God has answered our prayers. And we're continuing to pray for God to save every young person in the church. But it starts in the prayer meeting, because it's the only time you have together to cry out to God. You can't do it on Sunday morning. You've got to have a prayer meeting. What if God began to honor that and He gave you more power in your witness? He began to save those that you're burdened for. And you began to see and experience regular answers to prayer. Can we not pray with our church in light of the glory of Jesus Christ, in light of the lostness of men, in light of the burdens that we bear? We sing the hymn, burdens are lifted at Calvary. But I promise you this, burdens week in and week out get lifted in a prayer meeting. If we will but pray. Well, let me close. I want to call you as a church, I want to encourage you tonight before the Lord to examine your own life and walk and see if you are fully obeying the Lord in this area of your life or not. God knows. He's Lord of your conscience. Examine your motives and your choices. Ask Him what He wants for you as you're on the long stretch and you see 2019 in front of you. Lord, You're Lord. So what do You want for me this year? What spiritual increase? What new things you want me to lay hold of? How do you want me to get out of my rut and get revived and see God work more in me, with my church, through my church, through prayer? Search your heart before God's presence, because God has ordained and made it clear that His will is for His people to pray together. I love Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, and it's corporate. Come with confidence. Come with boldness to the throne of grace. Let us therefore come with confidence to the throne of grace. To do what? To obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The implication is if we don't come to the throne of grace, there's mercy and grace that we'll miss out on, that we could obtain if we come to pray. Oh, I wonder how many prayers go unanswered that God would answer. And how many prayers this year will He answer if New Hope Baptist Church takes the prayer meeting more seriously? It can't come out of law. It's got to come from our hearts, right? We want to please the Lord in all things. And when you start seeing God answer prayer here and there, you won't get discouraged. You'll get excited. Have you ever had a big answer to prayer and you felt, man, I'm so sad? No. You immediately feel joyful and excited. God actually heard me. God actually answered. Answered prayer will fuel more prayer, and you'll begin to see God move in ways that we've never imagined. But see, our duty is to stay faithful at prayer. And we can go away from a prayer meeting saying, well, I didn't feel like it was great tonight. And then you don't hear in the next month if any prayers from that night were answered. But you go away saying, we're doing what pleases the Lord. He's called us to pray. And our prayers may not get answered from Wednesday for another 5 years. We don't have to know the when and the where and the how. We have to know, Lord Jesus, You've called us to be a house of prayer, and I want to be a part of that. So if you're a beginner in prayer, if you're a novice in prayer, even if you've been a believer a long time, jump in and see what God would do. And let Him make you one of the bricks in the house of prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the truth that You have called us to be a prayerful people, that You've called every Bible-believing church to be a praying church, to be a house of prayer. Bless Your word tonight and cause it to bear fruit in our hearts, that You'd do a work within us to create soul thirst, to create spiritual desire to pray. And Lord, then as we gather to pray, that You'd increase those times with fruitful prayer that's anointed and led by the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, for New Hope Baptist Church, this dear church family, You'd bless them richly in this area and make this year a year that they are increasingly a house of prayer. Do it for Your own glory, Lord, and for their good, and for the spiritual good of their community. In the name of our Savior, we pray. Amen.